You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
So it was a misunderstanding. They dropped all the charges. So I understand all of that. But you know what? You're on the beam. You're on the light. You know, people are looking at you. They don't like me. I thought that doing all of this stuff, people are going to take a liking to me. They're going to say, wow, this guy's helping the community. There's a lot of people that they come against me. And that's okay, because I got the Lord. It doesn't matter. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. You know, I got friendly with the sheriff. He put me in the he asked me to help him build a spiritual dorm. You know, I got friendly with a lot of the judges because I worked with Judge Cox originally when she did the administrative court order on mental health court.
Oh, she listens to my show. It's well, she's been right where you are many times.
She gave me the from the law library in Port St. Lucie. She gave me an award from lawlessness to lawfulness.
No, really?
Yeah, so she gave me a big plaque. My family was there, and we became friends. And I'm like the leading housing provider for mental health court and drug court. I started working with them and taking everybody. So that's really...
But I don't understand is that maybe I haven't got too much going on upstairs, Forrest Gump here, but so you got this house, so you take out a loan, you buy this other house, but how do you feed your family?
I worked 17 hours a day delivering bread for Roma Bakery. I was delivering pizza.
You're doing that.
Right. At one time, that's what I was doing, just to make the place work. I had to.
Let me ask you this. When I was first in the program, I thought everybody was like me. I was committed. I mean, I went to 3 meetings a day. I was a drowning man. I knew somebody had thrown me a rope and I wasn't going to let go. Not everybody's like that, but I would. So I thought everybody was like me. And I took this young man who was 19. I introduced him to New York Times bestselling author, who's a friend of mine that lives on the barrier island over there in Vero Beach. And he ended up wrecking their car, taking right. money out of her purse. I mean, I had to, and now I lost her trust for a while because I trusted everybody in the rooms. Right. And, you know, then people are asking me for money. I'm giving up money. And then my sponsor says, no. Somebody asks you for money. Hand them a $20 bill. Say, I'm going to give this to you this time. This is the only time. Because otherwise they'll wait outside the door. Every day they'll come for more.
Right. We work differently. We're like earned behavior. You have to earn. You have to go to work. Everybody here works. We have to go to work. We got to be part of society. We don't want to hand out. We want to hand up. We don't want
to. But you said that the people, like, I own a business and I trust you to send up guys to work for me, okay?
Right.
All right. But how do you know? I mean, because until they've been tested, I mean, some of those guys are going to be recidivism. They're going to go back in. They're going to be bad again.
We have accountability, supervision. I could tell by the way you make your bed. I have a discernment that the Lord has given me. I understand. So I could look at somebody and say, oh, boy, this guy, he can't even make his bed. He don't take a shower. Look at what he looks like. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. This guy, you know. So we start out with day labor, and then we have these places like Nature's Keep. But a lot of these businesses around here love these guys because they're sober and they're working and they want to advance. But some people can't work. They're not capable. They never worked in their life. So they get a check. They're disabled. We understand those kind of people. But most of these people are very talented. Carpenters. They just can't drink. So what happens? They come back. We test them if we have to. Upon suspicion, we have a breathalyzer in the van. We make sure we keep them accountable. They just don't wander off and go places wherever they are. You know, I've been doing this a long time, since 2003. So we got to put
you are a gem in the crown of Jesus, man. I gotta tell you something. I don't know if I ever met you. You look kind of familiar, and we all go to so many meetings and churches and stuff. I probably was in the same room with you somewhere, but I can tell you this. I really want to get to know you, and I want to help. I mean, because that's eternal treasure, man. What you're doing just amazes me.
Well, it's done because I love the Lord. I do. See, the way the Lord loves me, I'm able to love others unconditionally. You know, I'm sober a long time now. I love the Lord a long time. I've been doing this a long time. I found that the gift, the joy comes from others. I can't do enough. I can't sit in a room all by myself and be happy all the time. You know what I mean? I'm a New York fan. All my teams, they stink. They're always losing in the wrong times, you know. So I'm a happy guy helping someone. If I could help you unconditionally, they don't even know that I'm helping them. Most people that come to our program, they feel entitled. Like, I did my time. But then we have to reverse that thinking. And we teach and we make them understand and lead by example. That's how it works. I mean, I didn't have anything. I was collecting cans.
Yeah. You know what I wish somebody had told me? I'm thinking in my brain as I'm driving along and I'm thinking, somebody needs to tell like this person. And I've never done this, but I've been rehearsing it in my head. Just I figure myself in front of a crowd. And I'm just going to say, you know what your number one problem is? To the whole crowd. I don't care if they're sober. I don't care. They're young salespeople for a major corporation. Do you want to know what your one problem is? You're stupid. You have to come to the realization you're stupid. You're not God. You don't know what you're doing. And you have to humble yourself. And it takes for some of us, like this guy, it takes years to know you're stupid, you know? And then it was the moment you really learn that you're stupid, then you can begin to learn.
Right. It's an advantage to be stupid. That's called humility.
Hey, look at Forrest Gump. He succeeded. It's a great movie. He succeeded at everything he attempted to do. But you know why? Because Bubba Shrimp, Tommy. He taught me how to make, you know, shrimp this way and shrimp that way. And he didn't question it. He just followed the manual. So everything he touched, he did what he was told because he was too stupid to rebel against anybody. But his stupidness helped him, you know? So people got to get stupid. And I guess what you would say is it's a lot of the guys that you help that succeed, they get stupid in that. Right. And there's another word, like contrite and broken, and go, okay,
They don't trust. See, when people, they don't trust. They're out of prison. They're off the street. Their family disowned them. They've never been disciplined. They have a single parent. They raised by grandparents. You know, they never really came through the right way like God would like. So what happens is they lose trust. Pain, like I said earlier, some people have no choice. I have people coming to me. There's nowhere else they could live. They have to listen. So what am I asking you to do? Get up, read something spiritual. We do RBC Ministries in the morning. Get up, pray.
What's that? What's that?
RBC Ministries, the Daily Bread. It's called the Daily Bread, RBC Ministries. You read a book, and it's like a story every day. It's a devotion. So you read the devotion, then you move on, you make your bed, you get a little breakfast in you, you go about your business, you go outside, you do something, either you're volunteering or you're working. You got to keep your mind moving or else you're going to be stagnant. You'll go backwards again. Remember now, so you got 30 years of whatever, wherever you've been, and now you got 2 days out of prison. How are you going to, it doesn't scale out. How do you get that done? You have to trust what we're telling you is going to work. It's a lead by example program.
An idle mind is the devil's workshop.
Amen. That's how it works. So we try to train people. We get people involved with other places.
Wow. I can tell you what, you're a knight in shining armor to these guys who have no one who ever cared. You know, I interviewed Mike Tyson, and I just recently, that was a few years back, but I watched a movie on him recently. Nobody cared about him. He's in the ghetto of Queens. The reason he learned how to fight is because he got beat up. It was either do or die. Right. And he could actually get, you know, he could actually kill somebody. He did, as far as I know, he didn't. He didn't admit that to me, but I tell you what, you know, it wasn't for that one voice of Customato, whatever his name was,
Customato,
investing positive words to him. And he's come a long way, you know, and it just amazes me. So one voice can change a life.
That's how it is. So we have meetings on Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday morning. We do a group, which is a community group. We talk about issues in the homes and we talk about other issues. And then on the we do AA at least once a week in our chapel. So AA comes to us, and we teach them what it's like to be in an AA program. So when they leave, they can go to AA because they are accustomed to it. They can go and go to church. Now I'm involved with the recovery church at True Church. So there's a movement of the recovery church here in Vero and in Port St. Lucie. So there's a gentleman by the name of Lyle Freed. He's also a pastor. We're working together to try and incorporate recovery in the church. Years ago, I went to California and studied under Rick Warren, and we brought Celebrate Recovery to this area. And now it's moving more into this recovery church as well. It's the 12 steps and Jesus Christ.
Rick Warren now, I mean, so we talk about, you know, we only grow in the valleys. He's the guy that wrote the book and made like $100 million.
Purpose-driven life. The purpose-driven life.
And returned that money to the kingdom of God. But he also lost a son to suicide recently. That's a horror.
That's a 90-10 tither. He tithes 90% of his salary, not 10%, as the Bible would say in Malachi.
So in other words, when he made that $100 million off of that book, $90 million went back into the body of Christ.
Right. Which
outgive God, huh?
Right, which I look at like, you know, that's my guy. That's a hero.
Yeah. Did you get to meet him?
Yeah, I met him. We used to go to the chapel there. We'd have to put our books on the front row 5 a.m. so we would get a seat. And he came in and taught one time during a summit meeting. But John Baker was the gentleman that set up Celebrate Recovery, and him and John Baker got together and created it. So he would do most of the talking when we went to the summits. It was just a learning experience.
People, what Celebrate Recovery is sort of like an Alcoholics Anonymous for the spiritually driven people.
Yeah, it's similar to that, but you know, it still has 12 steps and then biblical comparisons of the 12 steps. And we do break out into small groups and testimonies. And there's a 90-day waiting prayer period before it would start in any of the churches. But it's an excellent program. A lot of churches have adapted it, and it works very well.
61 million people addicted or using illicit drugs annually in the United States of America. That's just crazy. And as I said, the former Sheriff Lord told me that if somebody dies of an overdose, every 13 days, just in little, humble seaside village of Vero Beach, Florida. It astounds me.
Yeah, so how does it feel knowing that, you know, the border's wide open? I watch this stuff on TV. You know, I'm a Republican, and I'll be honest with that. I watch all this stuff, and I see the border wide open. I'm trying to help people, and you're giving them drugs. You're allowing this more and more and more and more and more to come in with this fentanyl. People are dying from fentanyl. They're mixing fentanyl in everything that they use, even in marijuana. They're putting fentanyl in it. It's such an addictive opiate that it gives you a sickness that you have to have it.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security with its 5-year warranty can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. Gatorsecurity.com.
Here's Tom Cantor, a Jewish born-again Christian and Bible teacher, on Friendship with God.
And that's like people today who want nothing to do with being a believer. They don't want to be found in church. But when they see death approaching and they want to go to heaven, all of a sudden they become very religious, you know, and they claiming to be what they never were in their lives.
Friendship with God with Tom Cantor, Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. and 10:30 p.m. right here on WCNO.
Embrace the mystery.